by a lot of believers, and a lot of folks don't understand what they have in Christ once they receive Him. And so tonight, I'd like to show you some different parts of salvation. Now, don't get me wrong, once you're saved forever, you're saved completely. But there's some different parts in the Christian life that maybe some people misunderstand, depending on how you were raised, or maybe you were in some kind of church that taught differently. But our sole authority is the Word of God. And a young man came the other day and told me he thought he had committed unpardonable sin. And he'd been to several preachers and they couldn't answer his questions about it. So I said, well, let's see what the Bible says. So we went to the Bible. And then when I got through reading, I said, now are you saved? He said, yeah. I said, tell me about it. He told me how he got saved. I said, then you can't commit this sin. You can't commit this sin. You can't attribute the works of God to the devil. And that's what they were doing. They were saying Jesus had healed a man by the power of Beelzebub, by the power of the devil. And I said, a child of God can't do that. We wouldn't do that. And I said, and besides that, salvation is eternal. It's forever, so it never ends. And so by the time I got through, I think I helped him a little bit. But a lot of people don't know that there's four parts to our salvation. And I want to help you with that tonight, and I think that'll help people when they try to figure out baptism. Baptism is not a part of salvation. The Bible says believe and be baptized, but the baptism part is just an outward showing of what's already happened on the inside, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and dying to ourselves and being raised unto Him. So a lot of Christians don't understand about salvation. They don't. So I want to help you tonight, maybe some of you. Trying to help you here. If you will, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 says it. Well, let's read verse 9 just to add to it, okay? But we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. Now there's the different parts of salvation. He hath, He doth, and He yet will. You see, when you got saved, you put it on Him. Now if you die and go to hell, He's going to have to lie. Because He said if you'd ask, and you'd seek, and you'd knock, and you'd receive, and you'd call, that you'd be saved. But it's all on Him now. It's not on you. Before you was trying to put it on you, and you figured out you'd never be good enough to get there. So now you put it all on Him. But that wasn't just the day that you got saved. I want you to notice some things. Turn to Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. I'm going to go ahead and start reading. Therefore, being justified by faith, not baptism, not church membership, not good works. Therefore, being justified by faith, not in ourselves. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now the first part is the believer has been saved from the guilt and the penalty of sin by placing their faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. His virgin birth, His sinless life, the life we can't live, and His vicarious death on there on the cross, His vicarious atonement, He died in our place, and His bodily resurrection that third day, proving that God had accepted the sacrifice and no man had ever raised his own self from the dead before. And so therefore, that day, the believer has been saved from the penalty of sin, but not only the penalty, the guilt too. He removed the guilt. Now, when you got saved, you were guilty or you never would have asked Him to save you. And the guilt was a heavy burden, or you never would have come. And God puts that guilt on you in order to convict you of your sins and to draw you to the Savior. And then you come to Him, and you may not, I didn't understand what I was doing. I just wanted to stay out of hell. But as I was going to Him, the guilt and the burden of sin was being lifted. And I was weeping and crying. I know everybody doesn't get saved like I did, but where sin did abound, grace did that much more abound. I had a lot to be forgiven of. And so God was lifting that weight, that burden of sin, and that guilt off of me as I was coming to the Son, His Son, Jesus Christ. And that day, that happened one time in my past. That's it. He has delivered me. That's past. That's one time. Has. Past tense. Doesn't ever have to happen again. Never will happen again. One time. Saved one time. And that's what the Apostle Paul was saying. And he was telling these folks about all the things he'd been through and all the tribulation, all the trial. But then he said, but I counted, I realized the sentence of death was on me and I shouldn't trust in myself, but in God which raises the dead. And then he said, who delivered us from so great a death? Now that's past tense. If you've been saved, you can just let that go. That's done. You don't have to get saved over and over and over and over. You got saved. It's finished. It's complete. It's paid for. You're going to go to him and ask him to pay for it again, and then go to him and ask him. I've had people say, well, if you die with sin in your life, you're going to go to hell. I said, if you don't die with sin in your life, you'll be a rare one, because we're all sinners. Amen. You'll be a rare one. I'll tell you that right now. You think you're going to have time to confess every sin you've ever done since you got saved, right before you take your last breath? There's going to be sin that day you did. And you'd be a fortunate person to be able to confess your sins before you cross over to the other side. But it's not necessary. He paid for past, present, and future sins. It's finished. And you say, well, you know, if you keep the law, now you're saved, you got to keep the law. You think the God of the universe that created heaven and earth and lives in all eternity, present, eternity, past, eternity, future, you think that God looks down here once in a while and says, uh-oh, didn't know she'd do that. He knew what you'd do before you ever got saved. He knew what you was going to do the day after you got saved. Thank the Lord. Amen. Thank God. He knew. Thank God. It's all under the blood. Past, present, and future. Now, he says the believer has been saved from the guilt and the penalty of sin. I don't worry about that anymore. I've not doubted that since the day he saved me. I've not doubted. Now, that doesn't mean I've been good ever since I've been saved. If anybody could fail him, I have. If anybody could let him down, I have. But thank God, he paid for every bit of that on the cross that day, because, listen to this, all my sins were future when he died on the cross. Well, he saved you from your past, but you don't got to do anything. That's why it's called faith. That's why it's called grace. Undeserved, unmerited love or favor. Now you listen to me. Some people need to leave their salvation in the past. Let it go. You're saved. You don't have to do that again. Rest in that. Just rest in that. You say, well, you don't know what how sorry I am. You don't know how sorry we are. Amen. Me and Mike, I think it was, somebody went and visited a man one night. He just got out of the penitentiary. And he said, preacher, you wouldn't want me to come into your church. You don't know what I've done. I said, you wouldn't want to come to my church if you knew what some of those people had done. I said, you think people sitting down there never sinned? I said, it's just different kinds of sins, that's all. But now, when I got saved, I left every bit of that in the hands of God. I have been saved. I will never have to do that again. That is eternal. That will never change. God wrote it down. It is finished. You don't have to worry about that anymore. Now, you ought to get baptized, but baptism will not add one iota to your salvation. It will not add anything to your salvation other than you'll have a good feeling for being obedient to the Lord, because he said you'll do it to be recognized with his death, burial, and resurrection. And by the way, you can't do that in a Presbyterian baptistry. We got to put you under, amen? It's hard to get buried in a cup of water, but we're going to bury you, amen? And so, therefore, my salvation is in the past. It's done. It's complete. Finished. I'm not worrying about it anymore. Now, I've doubted a lot of things about myself and about my Christian life or my calling and things like that. But I've never doubted one day, not one day, not one minute, since He saved me. Because I believe the God of the universe will keep His word, don't you? Titus 1:2 says, the God that cannot lie. Now, that's past. Number two, it says, who delivered us from the grave of death and doth deliver us. Number two, now the believer's being saved. We're being saved. But we're not being saved from the wages of sin. We're being saved from the habits of sin. Turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Salvation is not progressive. Sanctification is progressive. It goes on and it gets better as it goes. Salvation is 100% complete. You don't get better saved. You don't get more saved. That's like going down to the mortuary and viewing the body and say, man, he looks real dead. No such thing. He's dead. There's not a real dead, a more dead, a better dead. He's just dead. There's not a more saved or better saved. They're just a saved. But God does save us in other ways after we receive His Son. Look at Romans again. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. Romans 6, 14. He says, for sin shall not have dominion. Now, I believe everybody in here could read that. That's about a sixth grade word. Do not have dominion over, over you, or it doesn't control you. For you're not under the law, but under grace. Now, look at Romans chapter 8, verse 2. Romans chapter 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, I've been saved from death, hell, and the grave. I've been made eternally secure in that salvation. But now, verse 10 again says, who delivered us, that's past, from so great a death. And then it says, and doth deliver us. Well, He can't deliver us from death but one time, so He must be talking about something else. You only die one time. So therefore, the believer is being saved from the habit or dominion of sin. Somebody says, preacher, I can't help myself. You can. You know, people do what they want to do. They tell me, they say, you just don't understand. I can't come to church. I said, you can. You ought to tell the truth. You don't want to come to church. But preacher, I can't be a Christian. You can be a Christian. You just don't want to be a Christian. Amen. And God will change your want-tos. Once you accept Christ, He'll change your want-tos. I don't want to be like I used to be. I want to be different. I want to avoid sin. I don't want those bad habits anymore. I don't want that to have dominion over me. And then, as a Christian, if we go back into that sin, we are putting ourselves under the dominion, the control of something that we don't even have to. We do it because we want to. You still with me? You ain't mad at me, are you? I don't care if you are or not. Listen. Listen, the believer has been saved. That's past. That's done. That's finished. Now we're being saved. He says, if you walk in the light as He's in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So that means as we walk through this life and we do sin, that the blood of Jesus cleanses us and it cleanses us and it cleanses us. Wait a minute, preacher, you got to do restitution. It don't say that. It says we walk in the light as He's in the light. That's the light of God's Word. The blood of Jesus, that's already finished, cleanses us from all sin. And it doesn't say that you got to do penance or do restitution, you know, or get rebaptized or get resaved. No, sir. You're saved. That's settled forever in heaven. You don't ever have to worry about that again. And then as a Christian, He's given you a new heart. You don't want to be like you used to. He gave you a new heart and a new mind and a new spirit. And that gave you a new attitude and it gave you new desires. He said, I'll put my desires in your heart. And He puts His desires in your heart. So when you do fight, you do put yourself under the dominion of those old sins. The Holy Spirit convicts you. Your spirit convicts you. Your mind convicts you. Your heart convicts you. And you come right back out of it. You don't stay there. some of the most miserable deaths I have ever seen as a preacher. I was licensed in 1982. I was ordained in 1983. And I've sat by many people dying that didn't have to die. They died because they put themselves back under the dominion of something that was killing them. Sin. They didn't have to. They did it on purpose. Well, you know, preacher, y'all Baptists, y'all can't do nothing. You can't have no fun. You can't drink liquor. You can't drink beer. You can't smoke cigarettes or pot. And you can't take pills. And you can't run around, you know. And you can't go to the bars. And you can't ride with that crowd no more and all that stuff. I threw that in there for you, Tom. Ride with that crowd no more. And boy, you can't run around with them anymore. And y'all just can't have no fun. Let me tell you something. We have more fun now since we got saved than we ever dreamed of having before we got saved. Amen? Amen. It wasn't fun the way we were living. It was miserable. Amen? Amen. Why do you think country music's so sad? Why do you think rock music is so head-breaking, you know, and rap music is so filthy and nasty? They're not having fun. That's not fun. Boy, that's heartbreaking. Amen? It's just heartbreaking. And now we're out from under that dominion of sin, sis. And He's saving us from that every day. He's delivering us, and we're growing stronger, and we're getting better. And we don't brag on it, but we're getting better. And people notice it. They look at you, and they say, boy, you sure have changed. And you say, no, it's Christ in me that's changing me, and He's making me better. And I'm not everything I ought to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. Amen? And I'm getting better. And one day I'll be perfect. Just have patience. One day when I get to heaven, I'm going to be exactly like Him, and I'll be perfect then. Until then, He's saving me every day from the dominion of the things that would hurt me, would harm me, would break me, could not take my salvation, but they wouldn't be good for me. And every day He's saving me from that stuff. Amen? Some of y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? Amen? And He has saved me. And there in verse 10, who delivered us? That's past. From so great a death, that's death, hell, and the grave. And doth deliver us. He doth, right now, every day. People look at you and say, I thought you was a Christian. Here's what you'll do is look at them and say, what would you know? You don't read the Bible. If you did, you'd be a Christian. Amen. This fellow told me that one day. He said, and I thought you was a Christian. I said, you don't know nothing about being a Christian. You ain't ever read the Bible. You don't go to church. How can you say what a Christian is? They don't know. Before I was saved, I didn't know what a Christian was. We called them all kind of stuff. We called them Bible thumpers. We called them holy rollers. Since I became a pastor, I looked it up in the dictionary, and it says holy roller. Baptist that stays out of church on Sunday morning because they felt so holy they roll back over in the bed and stay home. That's in the dictionary. Go look it up on WikiLeaks or something. I don't know. Amen. Amen. Look that up on Google or something. It's somewhere in there. That's what they used to say about the Bible. It's in the Bible somewhere. I said, yeah, show it to me. Amen. I didn't say it was in the Bible, did I? There you go. Because I know it ain't in the Bible. But then, Romans chapter 6 and Romans chapter 8, he says we're being saved. That's just what we read. Now, don't turn there. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36 says this. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. I'll wait on you. I want you to mark it. Hebrews 10, 36. He said, Hebrews 10, 36. For ye have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. You've got to wait on the Lord because you're being saved from the habit of sin, and now He wants to save you to be from being conformed to the world and being transformed to be like Him. Romans 12:2. You got to be patient. People need to be patient with you. Just because you got saved doesn't make you perfect. You're going to get better. You're going to, already some things have happened, and you're going to get better. You will, I promise you, things will get better, and you'll be better. But you're going to have to be patient, and you have to be patient with people who are growing in the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, we're being saved in the sense of being conformed. You know what that means? You get a ball of clay and you start making it into whatever you want to look like. And now God's got you. And He's forming you, and He's transforming you, and He's conforming you into the image of His Son. It used to be you heard this. I don't do that anymore because I'm trying to live for the Lord. I bet it's been a long time since you heard that one. Or you'd hear somebody say, well, I quit drinking because I'm trying to live right. I bet you don't hear that much anymore. Because, see, as Christians now, the average church member looks so much like the world can't tell the difference between the church and the world. And the churches have changed their music, and they've changed the way they dress, and they've changed the way they look, and they've changed their habits and their hobbies, and now it's hard to tell who's supposed to be transformed and conformed to the image of Christ, because so many want to look like the world instead of look and act like Jesus Christ. Now, God did save you in time past. That's done. You are being saved from the dominion of sin. That's right now. And He wants to save you so much that you start looking like Jesus Christ and acting like Jesus Christ. I remember growing up, there were some people we were afraid of as sinners. We were afraid of real Christians. And I remember they used to make fun of those ladies that had those buns on their head and stuff like that, wore those long dresses. But let me tell you something. Sinners were afraid of those ladies. And Christians were convicted by those ladies. Amen? Now your hair and your clothes not going to save you, but your outward appearance is a sure sign of what's on the inside. Amen? You say, well, you can't judge a book by its cover. You sure can. You sure can. That's the way you buy every book, is by the cover. But we judge ourselves. And I want to be like Jesus Christ. Now, He saved me. That's finished. He is saving me from sin and the habits and dominion of sin. That's wonderful. I surrender to Him every day. I surrender to Him. But I want to be so much like Him that when sinners get around me, they know that Christ is somewhere in that room. I like it when I walk into a room full of sinners where somebody has died and they all got cups in their hands and they probably got other than punch in them. And I like walking in that room when that crowd's real loud and rowdy at one of those wakes or funerals, and I walk into the room, they all get quiet. I like that. They don't know it, but they're complimenting me when they do that. I say, thank you, Lord, I still got the power of the presence of God on me. Amen? Well, when I was lost, Christians scared me. I mean, we was mean. I mean, as teenagers, we was mean. And I ain't even going to tell you some things, but when a real Christian come around, not a church member, but a real born again, living like a saint, child of God come around, we scatter like a bunch of cockroaches when you turn the light on, man. We get out of there. We didn't want to be around. We were afraid of church. We didn't go to church because we didn't believe. We'd tell you that, but we didn't go to church because we were afraid. And the few times we went, it scared us even more. And I remember when I got under conviction, me and my wife and two little babies started going to church. And that first time down there, and it wasn't a rowdy church. And it wasn't one where everybody lifted their hands and praised the Lord. It wasn't one where everybody sang out real loud. But I went in there, and when we left, I told my wife, I said, we're not going back down there. Those people are crazy. They're weird. I don't want to be around those people. They give me the heebie-jeebies. Amen? And we're supposed to be that way. So I don't go to your church. It makes me nervous. It's supposed to. Because we're being conformed and transformed into the image of Christ. It ought to make lost sinners that's living in sin a little bit nervous. If people came to my church that were lost sinners and living like the devil and living with the devil's crowd, and they came to this church and it did not make them nervous, we're not right with God. I love it. I love it. I like to go to camp meetings. Sis, I love it. Where's Clinton? He used to sit on the front where I could preach at him. He's in there, ain't he? I used to go to camp meeting. His daddy would take me to camp meeting. Then people would run to aisles. They jump pews. Then I went up in the mountains to some camp meetings. I seen them do cartwheels, man. I'm serious. And you say, well, oh, they're just in the flesh. It's better than getting drunk. I'd rather see you cut a cartwheel in the spirit or not in the spirit, as long as you're praising God, than come in drunk. Amen? I don't make fun of those people. I say, bless them, Lord. Bless them. I couldn't do it. I'd get hurt. Bless them, Lord. Amen. I saw this one video, this old preacher, and I can't remember his name. I heard him preach several times. An old guy from up in the hill preached old-fashioned mountain preacher, you know, and he'd sing. And he'll stand there singing. And this fella jumped up and, well, this one over here, I could tell he was getting nervous. And he got up and started walking back and forth. And then this one over here, he got up and started walking up and down the aisle. And pretty soon they got to shouting. That old boy got down there and he took his coat off and started waving around his head and shouting and hollering. The old preacher just kept right on singing. And he's just waving his coat, you know. And the coat comes out of his hand and covers the old preacher up. The old preacher don't miss a lick. He keeps right on singing, takes the coat off, throws it down. Don't even pause. Just keeps right on preaching. And then that boy gets so excited, he runs out of view of the camera that way. And he runs back up here and he runs across there. And he runs back out of view the camera, he runs across, he runs up there, and then he runs up here and he runs across and he jumps up in the pew and dives in the baptistry. He dove in the baptistry and come up shouting. You know what everybody else did? They shouted too. Praise God, hell, bless him, Lord. He got out of that thing and run a few more laps. You say, well, I don't look much like Christ to me. Hey, you get enough of the Holy Spirit on you, you'll do strange things too, you know. During the book of Acts, they said they all went mad, you know. They told the Apostle Paul he was mad. They were crazy, you know. He called them crazy people. Said they were drunk. Amen? But you see, if you get close enough to God, this old flesh can't take it. And you might do something. But you'll have a good time while you do it, I guarantee. Just be careful how you land. That's all I say. You said that'll scare sinners. It ought to. It ought to scare sinners. You know what? Some of y'all break loose every once in a while and get that old Methodist or Presbyterian background out of you and get you some good old Baptistal deep down your soul. You start shouting. I went down and preached down at a, and this ain't even in the sermon. I'm not going to charge you nothing for it. I went down to Maxton, North Carolina, way out toward the beach, Lumbee Indians, you know, and went there to preach. And I was preaching on hell. I was preaching on hell. The same sermon I'd preached place before, and people just weep and cry. Not down there. These old Indian ladies, they were sitting up on front, you know, and their churches are a lot like black churches. And the ladies all wore white, you know, and they're sitting up here. And I'm preaching on hell. One of them goes, "Woo! Woo!" And there's another one over on this side. She goes, "Woo! Woo!" And they, about five or six of them, they're just wailing. And I finally just stopped preaching and looked at them. Bless them, Lord. I didn't know what to do. And they went on and on and on. Finally, they quit. I went back to preaching about point number three. Woo! I just quit preaching. Let them go. You say, preacher, what you think about that? It's better than getting drunk. Better than smoking dope. Better than fornication. Adultery. Homosexuality. Why would we criticize anybody that was trying to be like Christ? And they got so close that it just tore them up. Y'all act like you don't understand what that means. Boy, I remember the first time my wife, I had a blind date. She was blind, I was the date. And I walked in that house, and she come down that hall, and she had them long pigtails down to her waist, you know, parted in the middle, them long pigtails. Looked like Hiawatha, you know. And had on them big old monster bell-bottom blue jeans, purple. Y'all remember them, hip huggers. Had a belt buckle about that big on them, you know. I done seen an angel. I fell in love right then. I was 18 years old and I fell in love. And if she told me to jump that couch, I'd have jumped it. If she told me to cut a flip, I'd have tried my best. Amen. It wouldn't have bothered me what the rest of the people in that room thought. Amen. And now I'm saved. And the Lord of glory laid down his life. And he saved me one time. And he keeps me. And he's blessing me. And he's changing me. And I'm being conformed. And he's given me a new mind and a new heart and a new spirit. And guess what? He gave me a new name written down in heaven no man knows. And I got adopted into the family of God. Now you listen to me. If that doesn't make you want to change, nothing will. By the way, I changed for my wife. We dated for 4 years. I left every friend I had for her. I did. I lost. Those boys just left me, buddy. When they found out I had a girlfriend wasn't coming back, they just left me alone. But let me tell you something. I have been saved in the past. March 5th, 1978, I put it all on him. I am being saved from the habit and dominion of sin. It has no control over me. I have to give in to it if I want to. And then I'm going to be saved and conformed into the image of Christ. And then last but not least, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you'll turn over there with me. And we preach this at funeral sermons a lot of time, you know. But this is not a funeral sermon. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look with me. Verse 42. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 42. So also is the resurrection of dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body. And there's a spiritual body. Now, for sake of time, you ought to read it all. But for sake of time, skip down to verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. He said, and this corruption must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. Now, you listen to me. You can't go to heaven with the body you got. You can't do it. I can't. Nobody can. And so, this body's got to be changed. Look at verse 54. So, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? We're laughing at death. O grave, where is thy victory? We're laughing at the grave. The sting of sin is death, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, our salvation is going to be complete then. We're not completely saved. We have eternal life. But this body right here has got to be changed. Because you see, it's corrupted. He said that. This corruptible must put on incorruption. And it's mortal. It's going to die. So this mortal must put on immortality. And then we'll have complete victory over death, hell, and the grave. Now we're saved. We're going to heaven. If you die today, to be absent from the bodies, be present with the Lord. But you're changing. your desires, your habits, all these things are changing. You're being conformed into the image of His Son. You're looking more and more like a Christian every day. You're acting, walking, talking more like a Christian every day. But thank God, one day we're going to be completely saved. And we're going to be changed, and we're going to look like Him and have an eternal, immortal, sinless, perfect body that'll never die. I like that. That's enough to make a jump pew, ain't it? Now, if you've not had that, now a lot of people's joined church thought they were saved. That doesn't save you. A lot of people's gotten baptized and thought that saved them. That doesn't save you. I mean, talk to Tom. He's been all through all kind of religious stuff. Talk to some of these other people in here who went through religious experiences when they were younger, but then they got saved. They got born again. And all these things, now they understand what I'm talking about. And if you've never had that new birth, you're not going to heaven. Jesus said you must be born again. He didn't say you must be born again in the baptistry. You get born again before the baptistry. Then you go into baptistry. But you're not perfect. But you will be. And you're changing every day. Get your hymn book if you will. And turn to number 4.